Jesus shares with them. He says, I'm getting ready to go away. You're going to be without this shepherd. I'm going to go away and I'm not going to be here. You know, there's something that's going to take place. I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. And so the disciples are understanding what's going on and they're thinking, well, what are we going to do without this, without Jesus? He's been our leader. He's been our nurturer. He's fed us. He's cared for us. He's guided us throughout all of this. What am I going to do? And Jesus responds to them in verse 6, and this is the passage I messed up last week. Jesus said, I am the way. That's the word I forgot last week. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's interesting because here Jesus identifies himself as he is the truth. By essence, he is the truth. We don't have to look any farther to understand what truth is. It's not like Facebook where I have to figure out, hey, is this thing legitimate or true? I used to go to Snoops.com to check out something to see if it was true until I found out that Snoops.com is just two guys in California sitting there and kind of sorting through this stuff and coming up with their own conclusion. I found out that they even have a bias. They're anti-religious. So anything that they perceive as religious and maybe it's outside of their realm of possibility, then they're just going to discount it. And so Snoops.com is no longer, a viable resource to tell me if intelligence is actually true or not. But what we do have is in Christ, we have the truth, the embodiment of truth. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is in Christ, and it is in Christ exclusively. In fact, when he begins to talk about truth, he talks about truth as being absolute. And it's universal. So when we begin to talk about absolute, and we begin to talk to Jesus, and we go to him and we say, hey, you know, what is truth? And Jesus will tell us, you know, through the power of the Holy Spirit or through the Word of God, this is what it is. This is what truth is. There'll be a conscience. Our conscience will begin to understand it if we honestly begin to ask the Lord what it is. And when he says truth is absolute, then we say that is in fact true then. That's why a few weeks ago when we were talking about issues as we approached the election, we talked about things like marriage, and we talked about things like the sanctity of life, and we said that marriage is divine. The way God has set it up to be one man and one woman, it is a divine relationship, and because it's divine, it's absolute truth. It's established on God's word. It's established in heaven before it was given to me, so there's no arguing with me about it. You can argue with me till you're blue in the face. I think that eventually our nation is going to go to, you're going to have a spiritual wedding, you're going to have a civil wedding. Spiritual wedding is saying, hey, God is the center of my marriage. That's what it's about. As a church, we recognize it. If the state wants to recognize that their two men can be married together, two women can be married together, a puppy and a cow can be married together, whatever, they can decide what they want to have. But what the Spirit of God says, what God says through the absolute truth is that the Bible teaches it's one man and one woman. That's where absolute truth is. The sanctity of life tells us that every life is precious. Every life is ordained by God. God knew us even while we were in the womb. There is no counting of days. So truth becomes absolute. And that's what we as a church, that's what we, not only as a church, but as individual believers need to begin to understand, is that this is what God said, therefore it must be true and I will follow in it. Can you say amen? This is the challenge of our day. Because the world is out there challenging truth. Truth is universal. Hey, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he's saying this is universally true. The two major, or three major religions in the world today are Christianity, Islam, and some form of Hinduism, Buddhism. Okay, that type in there, Eastern mysticism, that type of idea. Okay, of those three things, universally across the globe, it's not accurate to say that any God can lead us to our Heavenly Father. That is not true. It's universally true that Jesus Christ is the way, he is the truth, the life. There is only one gate to get to heaven, to get to the Lord. Everybody ought to be going like this, north and south. Amen, Pastor. Hey, I mean, even some pulpits today aren't preaching that. I just read in the news the other day there was a Christian performer, a Christian singer, And so she preached somewhere, and she said, basically, she spoke out against homosexuality. As a result, Ellen DeGeneres has said, well, you're not coming on my show. Okay, that's fine. I'll turn off Ellen DeGeneres to begin with. Right? I'm not interested in hearing what she has to say to begin with, but the girl is standing, this woman who is speaking the truth is saying, this is what I believe. Absolute truth is what the Word of God says. I'm standing on it, and I pray, and I believe that she's going to be blessed as a result. Can you say amen? But that's the challenge of our day, and yet many Christians are going to listen to Ellen, many Christians are going to listen to these others, and they're going to allow them to make the entertainment dollars and the advertising dollars that they're making because we're not willing to differentiate the difference between truth and untruth and to take a stand. Ouch. That wasn't in my notes. In the last year of Bible college, I had to take a class on leadership and ministry. And in it, the professor was really challenging and asking, you know, hey, what's your mission statement? What's your, you know, this and what's all these things and what do you believe and all these kinds of things. And, you know, you couldn't just kind of quote back and say, oh, this is what the Assembly of God believe or give back the Apostles' Creed or something like that. You couldn't just, you know, just he'd know it was plagiarized from somewhere else. And so I'm really struggling with it. And at the same time, you know, because I was finishing up my degree in theology as I was pastoring the church, and I think even in my last year of reserves, and so my time was kind of crunched, and I'm just going, when am I going to fit this in to be able to do this? And I remember just kind of straining and saying, what is it? What is it I believe? Have you ever been challenged that way? What is it I believe? And so I began to just kind of write, sort of free-flow writing, and just say, this is. It was like I felt like I was in an interrogation and I had just been broken. I said, okay, fine, I'll tell you everything I know. And so this is what I wrote as a result. I said, I believe in an awesome God. Think about these things. It still stirs my soul just to read these things. I believe in an awesome God. I believe that He should have lordship in all of our lives. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who sacrificially died for my sins. He rose from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe in Christ there is life abundantly that straightens out the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual needs of anyone who calls on Him. I believe that there's a process called sanctification that is God's intention for us. A Christian should expect to live a spiritual life filled with the Holy Spirit, enabled and called to function in the gifts of the Spirit. Can you say amen? I believe in miracles. I believe in moves of the Spirit that should not only live in history books, but should also be a part of our very existence. Can I share with you what one of my prayers this year is? Lord, let me not look back to describe the move of the Spirit, but that I might say in 2017, look at it today and see what's going on in my life. See what's going on in your life as a result. I believe in the whisper of the Holy Spirit, the thundering of God, the fellowship of Christ. I believe praise and worship are fitting responses to the reality of God. He wears the victor's crown, we sang today. He wears a victor's crown. In other words, He's kicked some butt. Can you say amen? He's torn it up. He's not going to get defeated. He's got the belt. He's won it. Nobody else is going to win it from Him. And I'm on His side. And I know who's going to win. How foolish it is when the devil comes in and whispers to you that your life can be something else other than the servant of God. And you're going to be okay. That's foolish. Because it's in Christ Jesus where there's victory. It's in Christ Jesus where my final destiny is and where your final destiny is. And it's worth the fight. Can you say amen? I believe that prayers are the girders on which the work of the church thrives. I believe that intercession is a deep place of groaning before the Lord, both to be desired and feared. Intercessors are the special forces of the kingdom. I believe the Bible is the inspired word of God and is perfect for changing a person, community, and world. Nothing needs to be added and nothing should be taken away. I believe that Christ is perfecting me. I'm not perfecting Christ. I don't need from the pulpit to reinvent Christ for a culture that's changing. The new culture needs to understand who Jesus Christ is. And I need to know Him more. We all need to know Him more. I believe that one day either Christ will appear in the sky or I will eventually die. And either way, I get to go to my Master. Can you say amen? The real things of my life are going to be known that day. And that is all that matters. The eternal. So these are my core truths. This is what I believe as a person. You can tell that it stirs me today to even speak them again this morning in this church. But I believe that truth ought to be compelling. And when we as a church say that we want to find true life in Jesus Christ, that it ought to compel us to be in church on Sunday morning. It ought to compel us to go out the doors when church is over. It ought to compel us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with our coworkers and that person that's suffering on the street. Can you say amen this morning? By the 18th chapter of John, remember we started in the 14th chapter of John, but by the 18th chapter of John, Jesus is standing before Pilate. Pilate is the procurator. He's the governor of that area of responsibility. The Romans had given him that area of responsibility, and so there Jesus is standing before him, and Pilate is interrogating him, trying to find out if Jesus is a threat against Rome. So he begins to ask him all these questions, who are you, where'd you come from, all this kind of stuff. And Jesus begins to respond to him, and Pilate asks him the question of, are you a king? And so in verse 37, Pilate asks that question. He says, you are a king then, said Pilate. And Jesus answered, he says, you are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And Pilate, he turns from Jesus. He doesn't think Jesus is a threat to Rome any longer. He turns away from Jesus and he says, what is truth? And walks away in disgust. Not so much at Jesus, but the idea, the concept of truth. And the problem is today that people are hearing the truth, but they're saying just like Pilate did, oh, what is truth? What do I care? Facebook's a small thing, but when we begin to ask the questions, the big questions of life, where do I come from? What is my purpose? What is my destiny? What is my meaning? People are saying, just like Pilate, it just doesn't matter. Entertain me. As long as I feel good, then everything is okay for me. But we're being called to a higher level, aren't we? And that is to begin to understand what truth is and begin to share it with other people. That we can make a difference in our classrooms, in our preschool, in our youth groups, in our praise and worship, in the sermons as I preach them from here, and as you carry them out of these doors into the community beyond, we can make a difference. But we have to embrace truth and we have to be willing to share truth. Can you say amen? Winston Churchill said this. He said, men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick up themselves and hurry off as if nothing had happened. It's exactly the same thing as what Pilate's response was, but there is no way for us to turn away from truth without disrespecting the Father. We need to be honest. We need to embrace the truth, and we need to use the truth. There is no way to love and follow God without loving and following truth. Let me say that again. There is no way to love and follow God without loving and following truth. The two of them cannot be separated. Imagine if you went to a car shop and you took your car in for, you know, say I'm getting ready to go on a trip in a week, and so I want to go in and I want to have you take a look at it and make sure that everything's good. So you take the car in, you hand them, you know, you hand them the keys, you come back, and when you talk to the salesman, or not the salesman, but the mechanic, he says, hey, everything's great on your car. Man, it just seems like you must be a mechanic the way you take care of that thing. It rolls. That's awesome. The horn works on it. The seats are cozy. They're comfortable. Man, that's an awesome car. You are just an outstanding mechanic. And so you take the keys, you give them 60, 70 bucks. You get in the car, you start driving around, not on your trip yet, but you just start driving around, and later that day, you put the brake down because somebody stops in front of you. You put the brake down, you find out it's not stopping, and you slam into the back of the car. Got a little issue there, you take care of that with the insurance company. You go back, though, you say, man, and you take a look, and you open up, pop the hood, and you find out there's no brake fluid in your car. You're going to be pretty irate, right? So you go back to your mechanic. You say, hey, look, I took this car to you earlier this week, and you told me everything's fine, but now there's no brake fluid in the car. And the guy says, well, he says, the truth is, your car wasn't really in that great a shape to begin with, but I was just afraid. I was afraid of telling you the truth, because if I told you the truth, you might not want to come back. After all, I just want my shop to be just a safe place for you to come in where you can feel accepted. You're furious, right? I didn't pay you for it to be a safe place. I didn't pay you that this would be a place where I'd feel comfortable. I paid you so that you would tell me the truth. Imagine you go to the doctor. You go to the doctor, you go and you get your exam done, and the doctor comes back and he says, man, you're in great shape. I bet you could run a marathon if you wanted to. You're just doing awesome. You know, everything's great. I got some numbers back on you. Some of my favorite numbers were in those numbers. Right? I just like what's going on here in your life. Go up, man. Do what you want to do. And later on, you're going up a stairway and you have a heart attack. And they go and they check it out and they find out, hey, man, your cholesterol is off the charts. Your arteries are like, you know, things are just kind of, your cholesterol is just kind of chugging through there. You've got to go and, you know, hardly able to make it. You're just one donut away from a major heart incident that was going to take place. You go back to that doctor later on and you say, hey, doc, what's the deal? I came in here earlier in the day. You told me my numbers were great and all that and everything was perfect. And then I go and I have a heart attack later in the day. And the doctor says, well, you know, I mean, the truth is that you really probably shouldn't be running any marathons. In fact, you probably shouldn't be going up any stairs at all because your cholesterol is off the charts. You know, you're overweight, chubby, and you got all kinds of things that are going on. He says, but I wanted you to come back. I need you to, you know, continue to come back. So I didn't want to scare you off by telling you the truth. After all, I want you to be safe. I want you to feel accepted when you come to the doctor's office. We'd be furious, wouldn't we? The truth is that we want the truth. And as a pastor, I want to be able to share the truth. Not to have a church where you're just safe and accepted, but a church where you're hearing the truth. Can you say amen? And you want to be a part of a ministry where we're sharing the truth. We have to deal with questions like, where did I come from? We have to deal with questions of, what is the meaning and purpose of my life? We have to deal with the issues of morality. What is right or wrong? And to be challenged in those things is just that, is just real life. And sometimes we're probably going to get a little bit of a needle in the side and we're going to go, we're not going to like what the pastor has to say. But what we need to do is go back to the Word of God and say, is it what God says? And if it's what God says, then we need to embrace it as truth and we need to apply it into our lives. Tom Cruise played a Navy lawyer in a movie some years ago called A Few Good Men. He had a colonel, Marine colonel, sitting on the witness stand in front of him, and at issue was the reason that a man had died. And so Tom Cruise, in the famous scene, he says, he challenges this colonel. Now, Tom Cruise is just a lieutenant. He goes up, he challenges this colonel, and he yells at him. He says, I want the truth. I need the truth. And the colonel, played by Jack Nicholson, at that point, his pride just comes up. I'm not going to get yelled at by a lieutenant. And he starts yelling back at him. He says, you know, you don't want the truth. You don't, et cetera. Great line that takes place there. That's not the point. Okay? But he begins to come back at him, and the fact is that we as a body, we need to say, I want the truth. We need the truth. It needs to be a part of who we are. And as a church, that is what we need to begin to offer to folks. So as a mission statement, and our goal really this year is that everybody in our church knows what we are about. Right now, if I were to ask, and some of you have been here a lot of years, you probably wouldn't know what our mission statement is. But this year I want you to know. This year I want you to know what our values are. This year I want you to know what our method is, so that you can help us be able to take that and take it and impart it to other people. So our mission statement is this, and that is finding true life in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Finding true life in Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, only Him, truth in Christ, and we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will allow us to be able to do that, empower us and enable us. We believe in methods of true life. And again, you're going to see these over and over again. We want to connect to God and others. We want to connect to God and others. We want to be a place to grow, not a place to show up, okay? Not a place just to hang out, not a place for, you know, just kind of slip in, slip out. We want to be a place where people are growing. We want to be a place where people understand that saved people serve others. Saved people serve others. We want to be a place where there is a lifestyle of worship, and we believe that His message is our mission and that we need to go. We're called. In just five simple words, and you may know these, but worship, connect, grow, serve, and go. That is our method to what we do as a church. Can you say amen? We believe in some true life values. Some true life values, and these are some of the things that sometimes are difficult for us to be able to manage, especially when it's hard for us to provide a teacher in each of the classrooms. But this is what we believe, is that every person has a right to the presentation of the gospel at his or her own level of understanding. Some mornings we have more people in the back than we have in here. The reason for that is because we believe that everybody has a right to the presentation of the gospel at their level of understanding. And so we're committed to that. We believe that every person needs a biblical moral compass to guide and protect him or her throughout their life. We believe and value that every person is an essential family member of the body of Christ. We believe the value that every believer has a unique gift to be discovered, developed, and used to strengthen the church. And we believe that every believer has a purpose in advancing the global mission of Christ and the church. Can you say amen? Every one of us are a part of that team as we hitch up together and we pull forward for the kingdom of God, that He's going to do some awesome things. Would you stand with me? I think a message like this demands a response. And so what can we do? What are the things that we can do about it? Well, number one is, if you've never let Jesus become Lord of your life, then let me say this morning, He is the truth. He is the way. He is life. And that you need to accept Him as your personal Savior. Secondly, is that we need to begin to apply ourselves into that truth. We're no longer just people that are going to be spectators looking in. But we want to be a part of that kingdom. We want to be a part of that harvest that the Lord has for that. We want to understand the mission, the method, and the values of our church. Can you say amen? And then last of all, what we need to do is we need to pray. We need to pray that the Lord of the harvest comes and touches us. Let's bow our heads right now. Some of you, you don't need to come on up. But let's bow our heads. We're going to pray. So Lord, we come to You right now. We thank You, O Lord, for true life and that we find it in You. Lord, we thank You for this mission statement of finding true life in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that You would etch that into our spirits and our identity here as a church, into each one of us individually. That, Lord, that is the challenge. That is what we want to do in our lives, and that is to find that true life, to experience it, to allow it to activate us inside. And Lord, I believe that there's going to be such a fulfillment in our lives as a result of that. And Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would do its work in us. Lord, we trust You. Lord, we trust You. You are faithful and true. There is none like You, O God. Lord, have Your way here in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Lord bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. If you can, come on back at 6 o'clock this evening. We're going to be having the Ignite Prayer and Praise, time of worship and prayer. A great way to start off the new year. We love you all. See you later.